B-Pod Studios.
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Tucker and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just not together. Last couple years, we were together. When now things hit, we become stronger. We're not there yet, you know. And like I said, we're going to get there. It's just taking time.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Touch and Rich. That was Marcus Smart. And caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a four-pack of passes for the Friday night session of Harpoon's St. Patrick's Festival. Don't miss the Harpoon St. Patrick's Festival March 8th through March 10th at Harpoon Brewery. For more info, go to harpoon.com. Caller 10, 617-931-0985. Okay, so obviously yesterday was just, it was awful to me. I think it was the worst loss of this Celtics season just because I was able to write off all of the other bad ones because they were against teams that you could excuse them for not getting up for. As I said, yesterday for 15 minutes, I had a big diatribe about, don't worry about the Celtics, the playoffs are going to be great because this is what teams do. NBA is just different than everyone else. You take your foot off the gas when you don't need to play that way. You talked about the 2010 Celtics, and at the end of the season, they coast their way in. They got their asses kicked by bad teams. I'm like, they just decided to do it here and there, and you know, blah, blah, blah. Last night was the opposite of all of that. This is a game you should have been up for. You were on national television, and you just gave up. Gave up, gave up, gave up. You stopped playing defense. You stopped trying. You made dumb mistakes, bad passes, and just all around everything that you could do to show the world that you didn't want to be there was on display. Or you don't want to play like with the teammates that you have. So the Kyrie Irving press conference afterwards was just another thing where it just, at this point, I started thinking, is this team better without Kyrie Irving? Now, for months, I've been saying you need this guy. He's a closer. That's the one thing the Celtics did not have. You did not have a legitimate guy who was a cutthroat when it came playoff time. A Paul Pierce that wants the ball in his hands when you've got 1 second left and you got to do a quick play and you need a quick shot. That's the guy you should take it. So, Deadspin wrote this article that's pretty good. It's called, Is Kyrie Irving a Fraud? An Investigation. Fraud. That's a nice sports talk world. But Kyrie Irving, it says, is a former NBA champion, a six-time All-Star, and is, in his curious way, the vocal leader of the Boston Celtics. He said, a nominal championship contender, currently parked three games behind the Victor Oladipo-less Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference standings. He's a mega super-duper star, but his future with the Celtics has recently been a topic of speculation, which gives rise to the following very serious question. Is Kyrie Irving, in fact, a mighty fraud? The circumstances call for a thorough gathering of facts. Fact number one, the Celtics are undefeated in their last six games played without Kyrie Irving in the lineup, with wins over three current playoff teams, including a road win over a team ahead of the Celtics in the standings. All right? Fact number two, the Celtics are winless in their last five games played with Kyrie Irving in the lineup, including losses to the Bulls and Lakers. Yep. Fact number three, the Celtics are 9-2 overall this season in games without Kyrie Irving in the lineup. Fact number four, the Celtics went 14-8 in the regular season games last season without Kyrie Irving in the lineup. Okay. Fact number five, since Kyrie Irving joined the Celtics, they have a better win percentage in the regular season without him in the lineup. Percentage of 69%, yeah, than games with him in the lineup. 63%. That's since he's joined the Celtics. Fact number six, since Kyrie Irving joined the Celtics, they have won zero playoff games with him in the lineup. That's true. Fact number seven, since Kyrie Irving joined the Celtics, they have won 11 playoff games without him in the lineup. Fact number eight, Jaylen Brown has much more experience being the best player on a team in the playoffs than Kyrie Irving does. That is another good point. Fact number nine, the Celtics just had their jocks pulverized by the Raptors on national television. Fact number 10, before he became the de facto second best player on a team featuring the best basketball player on earth, his Cavaliers teams were horrible, and he was a big old loser. Fact number 11. Teammates Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Terry Rozier all played their best basketball of their careers during Kyrie Irving's prolonged absence at the end of last regular season and have all regressed noticeably and troublingly this season under his stepped-up leadership.
All right. Hold on a second.
I think part of that is correct. They got right to the doorstep of the NBA Finals without him. The problem is, in a game like that, Game 7 against Cleveland at home, they needed him to get over the hump. Because sure, everybody on that floor was like a deer in the headlights in the second half. They did not shoot the ball well, and I don't think it had anything to do with the Cleveland defense.
I told you they need a closer.
They needed Kyrie Irving to win Game 7 against Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. That's where he makes the difference. All these players are really good players, and you can get to a certain place with them, but you need Kyrie to push them over the top and get them to the next level. Here's the problem. That's the catch-22 here.
Finally, fact number 12, Kyrie Irving's leadership philosophy was learned via a combination of Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and YouTube conspiracy theories. So, I mean, obviously a lot of those facts are cherry-picked and things like that, but, I mean, it's
getting... Those are all really good points, though. I mean, they're all facts.
Some of them are good points.
They win more with Kyrie than they do without him. I'm sorry, without him than they do with him.
You could say three playoff teams, what have you, and there is a good win in there. But more often than not, the teams that he doesn't play against are not good teams.
All right, let's go to Andrew on line four. Andrew, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys, how you doing? It's Andrew 180 from West Roxbury. I'll be real quick.
Nice.
Kyrie has never been in this position leading the team, and this is a unique team. You have young studs, then you have the vets, and they're not gelling. It was just All-Star break, but it's three-fourths, in the season, and this team is not gelling. I'm done with the regular season. We'll see what happens in the playoffs, and then come July 1st, we'll really see what happens. Ainge will get left at the altar, and he'll look like the good guy, and we'll build around the young guys and hopefully find a free agent in a couple years. But I think Kyrie is gone, and trust me, I would love Kyrie and AD as a team and build around that, but I just don't see that happening.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Andrew 180. I appreciate it. Chris 360 on line five. What's up, man? You're on Touch Hard Rich. Oh, that is some sweet tunes. Chris!
Are we on hold?
I think we are.
Nice.
This is nice.
Yeah. How come we don't have old music like this?
Come on. Big Papa. I love it when you call me Big Papa.
Wallet just said, why don't we have cool hold music? And I said, it's you on hold, you idiot.
That,
when people call the station and want to get put on hold, they hear you.
I know, and the music's better. I think that's part of the problem.
They don't want to hear your screeching updates. Yeah. All right, well, let's go to Adam on line three. Although, you got any smooth background music for us, Adam? Boy, everyone's just on fire this morning. Adam!
All right. Hey, what's up?
Whoa, hello, Deep Boys. Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, man.
We're good.
Listen, the problem is this Kyrie guy is playing by himself, right? The team is picking out, telling everybody we don't need this guy. Boston-based sports are based on unity, are based on having fun on the field, and the championship will come later. Kyrie's not here. He checked out. He's not going to be here with us. Davis is not coming. We got to build around this team. We will not have another championship for another 6-7 years. Danny Ainge, I don't know what he's waiting for to pull the plug. I don't know how many more assets Kyrie has to be kissed, but that's it.
Adam, how close to the ground are your testicles?
Those are some pipes, man.
Dude, you got some...
You got some pipes.
You got some million-dollar pipes, my friend. And to be quite honest...
I'm jealous.
There's probably many a lady right now in the car just wiping the brow.
Oh, man.
Woo! Just right through the speakers, the machismo.
Goodness
gracious. I appreciate that.
I think to his point, I think he's absolutely right. This is the point I just was making, is that I think the Kyrie so wants to be somewhere else other than here, and it seeps through in his post-game comments. It shows in his play and his attitude probably from a day-to-day kind of operation. And you got a front office that doesn't see it, is kissing his ass, and it's making all these other guys look at him and go, why? Well, why?
Here's where I stand. I still think that this is a team that is going to play hard in the playoffs, and I don't, you know, I'm not
based on
based on the talent and based on until experience. Last night, I have seen them play well against good teams.
Experience,
without a doubt.
They need a top four seed, though, Rich. Asking them to win three road playoff series is too much.
Maybe you're right, but that's only half of my feelings toward this team. The other side of it is, I don't think I want to watch a regular season game anymore. I think the rest of the season, I'm out.
Really? It seems like they're out.
I know. I have to watch it for work, but I mean, yeah. That was like, I love watching the Celtics, but I mean, this has been an infuriating several months, and it hasn't been enjoyable. Like, I'm not used to this. You know what I mean? And it's not even like we're watching a bad team. You remember when Brad Stevens first showed up and Rondo was there? I mean, that wasn't a great team, but they played their ass off every single night. And the one thing that fans, especially here in Boston, won't tolerate is when you just don't try. I mean, you saw how forgiving people were for that Celtics. What do you expect out of this team? They had a bunch of nobodies in Rondo, but they fought their asses off. And these were like no-name players that were around them. And you know what? They kind of were the troop that you'd rally behind those guys. I just turned from that Bruins game last night, and I see a team playing their ass off. And I see these young guys stepping up, and I see Jake DeBrusk going nuts because of the TNR bump since he was on our show. And then,
excited for each other.
Oh, and I see these guys rallying around, like Chara getting in that fight with Evander Kane.
Showing some heart.
And then you flip it over to that second quarter of the Celtics, and it's just, what the hell are we doing here? And I've been confounded and confused, and I'm sick of trying to figure these guys out. And I know they're going to do well in the playoffs, but I'm at the point where I'm just like, it's not fun anymore. It's not fun. I don't like coming on the air and having to crap on these teams. It's way better. I'd much rather be talking about the Bruins right now and what they did last night, because that was fun as hell.
I'll disagree with you on one point. I don't think they're going to play well in the playoffs. I think this team is so checked out. It wants this season over fast. I think last night was the – I'm not going to look – I look at last night's game as all I need to know for the how I feel about this team the rest of the way. There's no way this team, particularly if it's a fifth seed – it doesn't even matter if it's the fifth seed, the fourth seed at this point. This team is going to get bounced. Definitely get bounced in the second round. I could maybe see them getting through the first round, but I think right now as it stands, they'd be playing the Sixers in the first round.
Yep, and they're going to beat the Sixers.
And they own the Sixers, so I could see them get through the Sixers just by ham and egging it and half-heartedly getting out, winning just half-assed. But that second round, no way this team right now has any chance of advancing past the second round. So, I've seen enough, and that nice game was the coup de grace.
Someone says that what the guy who just called, was that Greg Steensma?
So steamy.
That's certainly possible.
We have to break real quick. We'll come back to that. We'll take some more of your calls. I do want to talk more Bruins because, my God, was that a great game last night. 617-779-0985.
Felger and Mass, afternoons.
I'm in on the trade. I think it's a good move. Hoyle still has all this upside, too. He has less than Donato because he's been in the league 5 years or so, and so maybe Coyle is closer to establishing his ceiling than Donato is, who's more of an unknown. But Coyle's still only 26. Here's the thing to be most scared of. The Bruins are the team that made it.
Yeah.
Sweeney should scare you. Some of the trades they've made at the NHL level. That should give you pause. You should be cynical of any move that they come up with at that level. I don't blame you on that. That's the worst thing I can say about this trade is that you made it.
Felger and Mass, weekdays at 2. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rick. The real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kane went for a hit on Chara. Kane got the worst of that. And then Chara steps into Kane. And he buckled him. And now Kane grabs a hold of Chara and just starts throwing him.
Kane back is trying to chop it out of the zone. Oh! Chara drops Evander Kane. Evander Kane goes after Chara, punches him while he's down. That's a mistake. The captain tempted to twist his head off like a bottle cap. Measuring him, going ribs. Oh, what a hook. Kane's in trouble. Had enough. Have a nice time in the box.
Oh, Bruins San Jose, those have been the two most entertaining games this season, and last night did not disappoint. It's Touch of Rich, Ted Johnson in studio. And not only did you have, of course, something that was brewing for an entire two periods, and finally it was Evander Kane versus Zdeno Chara. They're saying that this is going to be reviewed, but I mean, they've been going back and forth and giving each other. Matter of fact, there was one point where in the second period, Evander Kane picks a fight with Sean Corrali, mm-hmm. and Zdeno skates over and starts yelling at Evander, "Why don't you take me on?
Like a precursor.
Why don't you take me on instead?" And Evander Kane, of course, did not. And then there was right there in the third period, it looked like Chara gave him, after they'd been like hitting each other back and forth, Chara gave him an elbow, and it did go to his head. And I don't...
Because he's a foot taller than
because
him.
He's, like, taller, and I don't think that he's going to get suspended, but they are going to look at it.
No, there's no confirmation of it. That was just my opinion.
No, I think they are going to look at it. I saw one of the writers tweet that last night. I'm not sure if it was Ty or if it was Haggerty.
I think it deserves to be. I mean, with the emphasis on headshots, that was clearly a headshot.
However, you know, Evander Kane does the ultimate cowardly move and jumps on Chara's back and knocks him to the ground. Now, as a caller pointed out earlier, and he's exactly right, some of these writers and reporters in San Jose were saying, Evander Kane ragdolls Zdeno Chara, and they just put the part of the fight where Chara gets jumped on, and Kane gets two punches to Chara while he's on his back. However, as I was mentioning before, it's just like the Terminator movies. Chara just gets right up in like two craps and just starts beating the living snot out of Evander Kane. So that was the call locally. Now, do you happen to have...
I do.
It's a completely different vibe from San Jose. They're looking at this fight as something different than Jack Edwards saw and most of us saw.
McAvoy made a nice play there. Kane just took a run at Chara, who got out of the way in time, and they come together again. And Kane's going to go after Chara. He's had enough. And down goes Chara, and Kane's throwing. Chara's back up.
After a nasty hit by Chara that I think caught Kane in the head. 6'9", 250 versus 6'2", 210.
Kane's trying to throw. What is Chara reaching over top? Chara here for the head contact right there.
Oh,
okay. That's suspendable. I'm sorry.
All right. So you have that right there. But, I mean, you left out the part where Chara destroyed Evander Kane's head repeatedly.
That big pause is when Chara's using his head like a speed bag.
But you heard the crowd going,
now to give credit, that's NBC Sports California. That's where the call came.
They just completely left out the pummeling
that Kane was getting
of Evander Kane's head.
Yeah, they stayed quiet while that was happening.
Right, but I also think the other thing that's going on with this Bruins team that is has been exciting is the play of Jake DeBrusque. And we saw it last night.
No
Jake
surprise.
DeBrusque once again scores. And we had Jake DeBrusque on yesterday morning, late in the show. And there was a period of about, 3 weeks that he wasn't on the show. And then, mm-hmm. you know, he was going through that slump. So then we got him back on. And after that, he, of course, started going off. So we had him on and we talked to him about that yesterday morning. You obviously realize how you were playing before you called us last, right? Like, what was going on with your game for about a month before you last came on with us?
I don't know. I mean, I think it was... I'm blaming on the Patriots run, to be honest with you.
you were just paying attention so much to them that you were off your game.
No. I mean, I didn't talk to you guys for a month, so... obviously my game wasn't where I wanted to be,
mm-hmm.
Before then or around that time. And I knew it was going to break. I just needed a good bounce, and I appreciate you guys a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
As a guy,
I like the fact that he's thanking us, because we are the reason that the slump was busted.
I mean, you told us you take different routes to the rink to break the luck. I mean, it stands to reason you come on with us and then you go on a scoring binge.
Does it blow your mind that every time you're on the Toucher and Rich show, you end up going on a scoring binge?
It is pretty funny, to be honest with you. Always something good always happens. Always happens. So, I've never really had something like this, so I'm kind of just trying to keep rolling.
I have to be honest, Jake. There was part of me that was holding my tongue because there is also a second part of the TNR bump.
Oh, that's true.
It can
Don't
also go
him.
In a different direction.
Don't tell them.
And that is that sometimes the people who come on our show often get traded. So that's why I'm glad we're past the what happened yesterday, and now we can actually talk to you and laugh about all of that.
Yeah, trade deadline is always a tough time. Yesterday, I think, was probably one of the most nervous days, I think, for everyone in the league.
All right, so we're back live. That was from yesterday, and sure enough, Jake DeBrusk goes off, scores yesterday. And as I said, for a moment, I thought it was two goals because that Krejci goal at the very beginning looked like it could have possibly tipped on DeBrusk.
And he had multiple chances in the first period also.
He looked great.
Fantastic.
Yesterday. Yeah. And so after the game, post-game press conference, here's Jake DeBrusk.
Shout out to Touch and Rich as well. They'll kill me if I don't do this. And thank you, guys.
Oh, way to go, boys. Yeah! Even he knows.
Yeah.
The TNR bump is real. And as I was saying, the best part of all of it is that he does the shout out and he smiles. And right there, freshly from losing his tooth, is that big gap tooth smile because he got it knocked out during the game. He goes, shout out to Touch and Rich. And now the dude looks like a hockey player. Now he truly does.
Yeah.
So congrats to them. Once again, it's a tale of two teams. And, you know, the Bruins have just been grinding it out. And they've got points in 14 straight. And it's not even because they're winning or they're scoring points. It's just the way that they play.
Scrappy.
They're scrappy. Yeah, they're an easy team to get behind. They're everything that the Celtics were last year. And it's just a major letdown when you switch from one to the next because everyone was doing that last night. And especially, like, I mean, if you would have tuned in during that second quarter for the Celtics after watching these Bruins just absolutely give
it's
everything
exactly
that
what
got.
Happened to me.
Yeah.
exactly what happened to me.
Right. And it's you know, it's like going from a Metallica concert to Michael Bublé. Let's go to Mike on line six. Mike, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to point out, you know, just kind of what you guys were just touching on. It's like you watch the Bees and they're just out there fighting every night. And it's pretty impressive if you really think about it. They miss out on John Tavares in the offseason. There's a lot of questions going into the trade deadline. Oh, they didn't make a big move. And then last night they bounced back from what was probably their most intriguing game against the San Jose Sharks as far as when it was such a scoring contest back and forth. And then you flip to the Celtics and they're down by 30 in the fourth quarter. And Kyrie's sitting on the bench like he's ready to cry. It's like, come on, man. You want to sit there and act like LeBron and make all these motivational quotes? Like, you got to start stepping up your game. Because at this point, I'd rather just go with the young guys and say, hey, we'll win in 2 or 3 years when, you know, the Warriors get old. I'll hang up and listen to what you guys are going to say.
Thanks, man. I'm getting a bunch of tweets saying, hey, can you guys have the whole Celtics team on a weekly basis?
So true,
<man.
laughs>
you know, maybe it's
to Touch
and
Rich as well.
Yeah.
And thank you, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Welcome very much.
Take it back.
We did it.
Take it back.
DeBrusk rules. And by the way, he's officially a 20-goal scorer. I mean, the guy is he's becoming like a stud player right in front of our eyes. And the sky's the limit with this guy. And if he continues, I mean, obviously this pace is going to be wildly difficult to continue. But I like the way he plays. I like his style of play. And last night, I mean, it's the first game. But seeing the way the new pieces kind of fit, maybe it is a sign of hope of good things to come. You have a massive measuring stick tomorrow night, though. Tampa Bay Lightning.
Ty Anderson said it correctly. Tampa's a wagon. I mean, they're not just good. They're historically good. Yeah. They have a chance to earn more points this season than any team has earned in a season ever. That's how good this team is. And that's the team that not only do you have to play tomorrow night, that's the team you're going to have to play in the second round of the playoffs.
And you know what they won't do? They won't give up in the second period.
That's true. You won't see Tampa score 7 straight goals in the second period.
Well, that may happen. The Bruins still might be playing as hard as they can because I mean, the
talent
is that
disparity
good.
May be that good, but I sure. Yeah. So right now, there's a difference.
Well, this team, what will this game tomorrow night tell you? I mean, you feel pretty good about what the Bruins have done, what 4-1 on the road trip, and then win last night like they did, and with the two pickups at the trade deadline that, you know, a lot of people aren't overwhelmed about, but they're, you know, like they're nice pieces, they're versatile pieces. I mean, are you going to read too much into this game tomorrow night?
Yes. Without a doubt,
yes. We do for 10 years.
I know.
That's what we're going to do tomorrow morning.
If they win,
Saturday morning.
I'm coming in and I'm playing the Stanley Cup montage.
Yes.
If they win, it's we are the champions all morning long. I'm going to completely overread into
it. That's exactly what happens.
But,
correct.
But you can't tell me that won't say something about this team.
Yes, if they win 4-1 tomorrow night, yes. Absolutely, we'll overanalyze the crap out of that.
Without a doubt.
And don't you think this is a team that probably, if they can go out there and they can handle their business against Tampa Bay and win in a way where style points, where it's a really impressive win, will give them more of this confidence, a collective confidence, considering what happened to them last year, going, you know, with the playoffs right around the corner.
Playoffs are a different animal. Tampa Bay is one of the best goaltenders in the league, just like last year. I mean, nothing's changed. They're better than they were last year, and they finished in first place last year.
I mean, it whatever happens tomorrow night has no bearing on what happens in the playoffs. I think we all found that out.
No, I mean,
when they lost in five last year.
If they beat them tomorrow, they're beating them in the playoffs.
Okay.
That's it's a done deal. Oh, man. That team is so damn fun to watch right now. All right. 617-779-0985. Here's John Wallach in his headlines.
Something. Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.985 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Korn and Alice in Chains on their 2019 North American tour coming to the Xfinity Center on August 9th. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through all Ticketmaster outlets. It's coming up at 7:50. That is a show I would like to go to. Alice in Chains is excellent live. I've seen them like, I think, four times in the last 10 years. And they're excellent with their new singer, William Duvall, is very, very good. Their new albums with him are really good. Okay, so there's certain things that you will always remember when you were on the air. Like, I remember when the Aaron Hernandez thing broke, we were on the air and watching live those guys showing up at his house and everyone had the guns out and things like that. There's even, like, you know, kind of funny things and news that breaks that you'll always remember being on the air. Like, oh, my God, they can't believe they got this guy or the other. Ted Johnson, I have to think that you will always remember being on the air. I think I listened to the entire final 2 hours of your show when we had just gotten off the air on Friday, and it was you, Christian Arcand, and Sarge, of all people. And I tuned in, and you guys were the ones who broke the news about Robert Kraft.
Yep.
That's a strange couple of hours, I take it.
It was. I think I said something like, they're not paying me enough here to have to talk about this story today. But it was one of those deals, like, this was a mega story, and it was a bombshell, and it was, you're right, I'll never forget ever what happened on Friday that I was on air with Christian while that news came down. We were in a break. Someone came by in the hallway and said, have you heard? No. And we started following social media. And it was a very difficult from that point on. I think we had about an hour and a half, a little over an hour and a half to navigate through this,
yep,
trying to just give the facts without too much analysis or speculation. Not an easy show, but a fun show, but not an easy show. I will never forget that. The other big story that I was on air when it broke, and it might not be big to you guys, but it was big for me. It was a jaw-dropping story for me. It was on a Saturday morning a few years ago, when the linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, Javon Belcher, did the murder-suicide.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on air when that happened. I'll never forget that. So, but I'll certainly never forget this news happening on Friday when I was on with Christian during the midday show.
Well the thing about the story is it just gets stranger and stranger as it goes on. Now, a lot of the things that at first people were kind of freaking out over have been clarified. Like, I mean, when that story first broke, I mean, it was, you know, Robert Kraft and, like, sex trafficking were, like, in the same sentence, and everyone's like, whoa, what's happening here? And now the police down in Florida have basically done everything they can to tell you that none of these people had any idea what was going on, and they made sure that was clear. Now the big story is, what's going to happen with this videotape, and when is it coming out? So the latest right now is that if it is going to be released, it more than likely won't be soon. Law enforcement originally said it could be as early as this week, but a defense attorney filed a motion to block it, putting everything on hold for a while. So, and then you've got other strange parts of the story, like, believe it or not, there's this guy who's been on ESPN who's been kind of interesting. His name's TJ Quinn. He's like an investigative reporter there. And they were asking him about a little more of the details of the situation and some of the strange questions that have arisen from what happened.
Why one that was about a 30-minute drive from his residence in Palm Beach?
I spoke to a couple of officials who said they frankly have no idea why he would. But one thing they found striking, there was no effort to really conceal who he was. This is, as you said, a strip mall. He walked in and out of the front door after a driver pulled up in a Bentley, waited for him in broad daylight both times.
Another big question is whether or not Robert Kraft knew that these women were trafficked. Now, there's no allegation that he did, but what can you tell us about the status of the women involved in his two visits?
Now, state prosecutors have said that a number of women inside, especially the ones living inside the spa, were trafficked. From what we can tell, the two women who have been associated with Robert Kraft may not have been. One of them was the manager, a woman who was charged with four counts related to prostitution. She's about 40 years old. The other woman is 58 years old. She has a valid New York driver's license. Both have Florida State massage licenses. So they weren't exactly living an underground life.
Okay, well, another thing that's kind of arisen from this is I don't think anyone's been arrested. I could be wrong, but I don't think anyone's been arrested for trafficking yet.
No.
So,
not that I saw.
What if this all ends up just being a prostitution sting and they end up not arresting anyone for trafficking? Doesn't that raise the moral question as to why would you let it continue to go on if that was the case? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like if it was the justice.
I think that goes on all the time whenever you're trying to build a case and you're trying to collect evidence. I think that goes on all the time.
It does, but the justification for letting it go on for a while, and it's one that I agreed with, was that if
it was a five-day sting kind of investigation.
I thought
right?
It was longer than that. I thought it was like upwards of a month.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm sorry. It was longer.
Weeks. Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of the cameras were in there for five days.
So to that, I would say if they don't end up arresting anyone for trafficking, then there's the moral question as to if it was just for prostitution, why didn't you stop it immediately once you saw it was happening and get these people? Now, I just that was the one weird thing that came up yesterday is the whole time I've been justifying that the length of this investigation because it led to a broader, bigger fish and a widespread crime and they're getting information on it. But if it doesn't lead to any arrest, that's strange. All right, but that's beside the point. Because right now with the videos, there's a Florida lawyer. Now, this guy does not represent Robert Kraft, but there's a lot of Floridians that are on this list. So this guy is now questioning the legality of these videos because they said that that there's a justification of blocking the release, saying the men are charged with prostitution while the warrant in the case cited trafficking. So why would you release something that was recorded and the warrant was used for a sex trafficking case? Why are you able to release those videos that have the men in it who are tried for something completely different or found guilty of that? So I guess they found like another loophole in it. Once again, in the end, it really doesn't matter. I mean, if the tape gets out and someone, they're saying that it could go for 6 to 7 figures, which is insane. And you know the temptation if you're one of the people who's in that police department or you're a friend of a guy who works in the police department who happens to have seen it, or maybe someone just records it with their phone and someone has access to that guy's phone. That's a $1 million payday potentially that you could end up getting. And I don't see how you're going to be able to keep that out of the public's eye. Now, one thing John and I had a discussion about yesterday was the NFL side of it. And that is he's going to get suspended. No matter what, he's going to get suspended.
Yeah.
And most people are speculating.
Too much of a precedent. You know, Jim Irsay got, what was it, six games, half a million dollars.
Right.
I mean, for the briefcase incident.
And nobody cared because it was Jim Irsay. But because this is Robert Kraft,
he's going to get suspended for more. A half a million is the max he can get fined.
If he didn't, the big deal is that at the biggest stage, when they start unveiling, when they drop the banner for the Super Bowl, Robert Kraft is not going to be able to be there. And that is one thing that's going to kill him, obviously.
It's going to crush him.
What the question is.
Let me ask Ted. How bad would that be? You know, obviously, the Krafts, and you know Robert Kraft. How big is that to him to miss that?
It's monumental because this is his baby. This is all he cares about, I think, at this point, is his football team and his image and his connection. And for him not to be able to be there to enjoy that unveiling, I think it's going to absolutely crush the man. Absolutely crush him.
So here's the question, Ted Johnson, and this is what we batted back and forth yesterday. If you're Robert Kraft and you don't want to miss it, say you're suspended for 6-8 games, do you delay the unveiling of the banner until you are able to be in the building?
Absolutely. I think that's the first thing I thought of was it won't be on opening night then. It won't be the first game of the season. It won't be an unveiling until he is there.
See, you can't do that.
That's an expert. He agrees with me.
I absolutely
take that.
You can't do that for several reasons. Number one, that
Robert
is
Kraft. He can do whatever he wants.
See, look at that. Out of my mouth, yeah.
Do you know the exact same words. Do you know
how bad
that looks for the Patriots to do that? Do you know how bad that makes Robert Kraft look?
Who cares?
To who?
He's trying to get on the NFL's good side?
Yes. Robert Kraft, he has an entire career of trying to get on the NFL's good side.
He's done his part for mother and country. I told you yesterday there would be no new CBA without his involvement 5 years ago.
On top
ago.
Of that,
he's done everything he's been asked to
you
do.
Delay,
he can afford this.
If you delay the banner dropping, you also extend this story another 6 weeks, which you know he does not want. On top of that, somebody yesterday made a great point, probably the best of all of them, is that what if for some reason the Patriots start off 2-4 and you're dropping a banner after a game like the Miami loss?
Roll the dice,
like,
baby.
Let's say you just happen to have a hard... Like, how embarrassing is that? A banner dropping when your team has a bad start. Now, will the Patriots have a bad start? Listen, if anything, there's a better chance of them starting the beginning of the season off poorly than it is the rest of it, except last year was obviously an outlier. But it's true.
I'm just thinking of ego. I mean, he's got a big ego.
Do you think Bill would want that? Because Bill's also one of these guys that just is
not
like...
Not past decision.
Not off to Bill.
I know it's not decision, but I mean, you have to take everyone's like into consideration because he's one of these guys who's like, the past is the past. It's a new season. Could you imagine if in week 7 you dropped your banner? How ridiculous
It would look ridiculous. But I'm just saying, I feel like in my heart of hearts right now, if it was if Mr. Kraft would, for him, it would be huge, huge, huge for him not to be there. And I could see with the ego that he has that he would want to delay it. Now, you're bringing up really good, kind of counter arguments to it. I just know that that's what he cares about more than anything, is to be part of those celebrations, to be part of that parade, be part of the celebration that is the Patriots. For him to miss that, it would kill them.
Okay, so somebody just said, Kraft said they wouldn't drop the banner without Brady. They won't drop the banner without Kraft. It's his coming home celebration. Yeah. That's two completely things. One, the Brady thing was something that everybody thought was unjustified. On top of that, it wasn't a crime. This is a crime. And it almost shows that you are taking lightly what you did down in Florida. And if you want to get out there and you truly want forgiveness and you want this to go away, that is the worst way you could handle it.
But I just don't know if he does want it to go away. Didn't he just hire some high-powered attorney?
Yes.
I mean, he's had a very strong statement the day this news broke, saying that they did nothing illegal or nothing wrong. So I just everything I've seen, the evidence so far to me, Rich, shows there's a guy that's defiant, is going to fight this, and is not going to go quietly into the night.
See, I don't think he's trying to fight it. I think he's trying to fight that video coming out. I think that's what he's doing. I think he's just trying to get somebody out there. Just you get that video from being released, and they're doing everything in their power.
Because all right.
Real quick, we got
that. I believe
617-779-0985. We'll take your calls on this. Are you team Teddy and John over there?
I have another compromise.
Or are you team who's right?
I have a compromise. I have a compromise to listen to discuss.
Or are you team Richie Hot Takes?
Oh, God.
All right. 617-779-0985.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to go see Korn and this band, Alice in Chains, on their 2019 North American tour coming to the Xfinity Center on August 9th. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through all Ticketmaster outlets. Caller 10, 617-931-0985. And by the way, they do stuff off Jar of Flies. And when they do Nutshell, it rules. All right. 617-779-0985 to call us about what we were talking about, the Robert Kraft situation. You know, the NFL is going to hand down their punishment sooner or later. I'm sure once you get more info on everything. But
well, I don't know if they're going to rush to this one.
No. They got to find out everything's going to happen.
They're sweet time on this one, I think.
Without a doubt. So what you have to compare the punishment to is someone like Jim Irsay, who broke the law, and he got a 6-game... What was just like a suspension?
He couldn't be at the games. Lucas Oil for 6 games, and he got suspended $500,000.
Which raised the question, when Jim Irsay got suspended, nobody cared because nobody notices when Jim Irsay's there or not. However, you are going to notice when the owner of the team that just won the Super Bowl is not at their banner-raising ceremony. And, Ted, you said you know Robert Kraft, and you know that he would be crushed not to be there. So the question was, what do you do? And many people are saying, well, you should wait. Many wrong people like John Wallach, like, you should wait until the suspension is over and then drop the banner.
And by the way, Ted Johnson agreed with me, not you.
But then I won Ted Johnson over. He came over to my side.
I see.
Let's go to Andrew on line six. What's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, guys. It's Andrew 180. Real quick.
Oh, Andrew, we already gave you one of these calls. Just give me 10 seconds because you already called today.
I say Kraft on the jumbo.
Oh, and drop the banner and put him on the jumbotron?
Perfect. Okay.
Dude, come on.
What, from his house?
Totally worth having him back on again.
Going live to his house in Brookline.
That's right. What the hell? He's just standing out with his thumbs up in the front of his driveway. He committed a crime. He's can't do that.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, Brian, what's up, man? You're on live.
Skype him in.
What's up, Brian? How you doing?
Hi, this is Brian 29.
Thanks.
What's up, Brian?
I don't know what the 29 means, but it's a great number.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Rich, I agree with you. You can't go down this gypsy road of waiting to unveil that banner because you will not get the push if you wait, you know, until game seven. And another thing, if Kraft goes away, you don't know what you got till it's gone, baby.
Okay. How many big hair references were in there? I wasn't even paying attention to the end, but that's the guy that calls and always slips in at least four hair metal song titles.
There are only a couple.
I got the
saw.
Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone, and the other ones I wasn't quite sure.
I think there were two.
All right. Well,
by the way, after the break, a very good idea proposed by a listener that I completely agree with.
And I agree with it as well.
All right. We'll see if Richie Hot takes it. All right. No commercials, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.